ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm Alan Kohler, and I want to take you straight to the source. Every Friday, I sit down with the people running companies, shaping industries, and influencing the Australian economy to talk risk, power, profit, pressure, not just their success, but their strategy, and what it means for the rest of us. Because that's business. Search, subscribe, and stay ahead. Find That's Business with Alan Kohler on the ABC Business Daily feed, on ABC Listen, or wherever you get your podcast.
With the Easter holiday period almost upon us, many motorists will be questioning whether they're going to be able to fill up their cars to get around. Will it be risky to travel far from home, not knowing what the supply might be like on the way back? Today, Sol Kovanec, energy expert at MST Financial, on what to expect and why the government's fuel incentives might make things worse. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
Hundreds of service stations around the country have run dry of fuel as people rush to fill their tanks, concerned about the prospect of the country running out of petrol and diesel.
164 petrol stations around New South Wales have run out of diesel, along with 55 in Queensland, 162 businesses in Victoria, 46 in South Australia and 6 in Western Australia.
And I stopped driving. I used to drive to the CBD and I am parked. And then I stop driving, I catch a train.
So I'm just going to park it up and drive a scooter for the next whenever until the prices go down.
Our approach is determined by four levels of action. One, plan and prepare. Two, keeping Australia moving, which is where we are at the moment. Three, taking targeted action. And four, protecting critical services for all Australians.
Sol, at some petrol stations right now, there are pumps without any fuel. And as a motorist, you know, that's a bit of a worry, right? When you pull up and you see that, you're thinking, oh gosh, this is not good.
Well, that's right. And it's not just some of us trying to fill up for our daily needs, but we're seeing in particular diesel not being available in some rural areas to keep farms going and mines going and vital economic sectors. Unfortunately, this is actually just a small signal of what's to come. The real shortages and crunch point hasn't actually arrived yet.
Wow. Okay. Is it all fuel stations that are running out at this point or just these smaller sort of independent ones?
Yeah, right now, these shortages we're seeing, they're localised. It's not a structural issue across Australia. The truth is that we're still running on the oil that came out of the Middle East before the Iran war started.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still receiving fuel supplies from oil that left the Strait of Hormuz before the war began in the end of February. Now, what we have seen in Australia is there's been some disruption to some of the logistics, particularly for smaller players who don't have a sophisticated supply chain management. But also there has been some panic buying, which has accelerated kind of some of the impacts here. Mm. But the reality is that the fuel has still been largely arriving as normal through the month of March. What we're about to see in the next 2 weeks, though, is that's when the supply crunch really hits, because we've basically used up all the oil that made it out of the Middle East prior to the war. And now we're going to be facing the structural shortage, which has resulted as close to 20% of the world's oil supply being shut off from the market.
Wow. And when that happens, what? We'll see more fuel stations with signs up saying we've run out.
Look, I mean, that's the risk. The most acute issue is actually going to be in jet fuel first,
mm-hmm.
then diesel, because China has shut off a lot of the jet fuel that they otherwise normally send to Australia. So that will probably be where we are hit the most first. But the longer this goes on, the more the impact's going to be. To give you a rough idea, the amount of oil that is currently out of the market is about the same level that oil demand dropped in 2020 in the year of COVID. So it implies a significant reduction in economic activity for as long as this oil stays off the market.
Okay, well, and I know this is somewhat superficial given what we're seeing in the world, but a lot of people do have Easter holiday plans. They plan to drive to various places in Australia. I mean, should they just do that without a worry at this point? You're sort of saying the next 2 weeks seem to be kind of okay.
Yeah, look, I think this will probably really hit us in about 2 weeks. Mm. I don't think we're going to get to the point where people will not be able to move around if they need to. I think people need to factor in they might have to pay a lot more for their fuel. Prices could still go up significantly more than they have.
Wow.
And so I think people should factor that into their thinking. And I think more generally, now's the time for Australians to really think about, do we really need to burn this fuel? There are really important parts of the Australian economy and vital services which do need it. And so this is just a time to, you know, we don't want to see the government go down the path of forcing rationing of fuels. And if we can just collectively also just try and conserve a little bit, that will be helpful. I think you've seen, you know, the signs from the Australian government. They've tried to really, I think in their public messaging, downplay the risk. They don't want to trigger panic and panic buying, which makes the situation worse.
At the moment, there are distribution issues, but there is more fuel available today than there was prior to this war commencing.
We certainly think that it's best at this point that we just really emphasise in the public communications, please buy as much fuel as you need, no more, no less.
But behind the scenes, the alarm bells are ringing, right?
Mm.
And you're starting to already see some noise coming out of the government suggesting voluntary demand reduction measures, such as maybe working from home if you can and public transport. This is, you know, ideally we want to get through this where we keep most of our fuel coming to Australia, and a little bit of just voluntary management is enough to get us through. We don't want to have to go to the next step where the government starts directing who gets fuel and who doesn't.
Voluntary is always a slight problem though, isn't it? So, I mean, how soon would the government need to bring in restrictions?
Well, my hope and expectation is that the government is engaging with our trading partners, in particular South Korea, Singapore, Japan and China, to make sure that we remain a priority for fuels and so we don't have to end up going down that rationing path. So people can kind of understand. Australia basically imports nearly all of our fuel. We're the most vulnerable part of the fuel supply chain. We're right at the end. And most of our fuel, over 80% of it, comes from South Korea, Singapore, Malaysia and China.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, they don't actually make the oil themselves. They, to make the fuels we need, import the oil mostly from the Middle East. So we're directly impacted here. The opportunity for the Australian government now is we have leverage as a country because we were a big exporter of liquefied natural gas or LNG. And right now, as tight as the oil market is, the LNG market is even tighter.
Mm.
And these trading partners like South Korea and Singapore, they need our LNG as much or if not more than we need the fuel from them. And so this is where the government, and we're seeing, you know, I'm hearing that Albanese himself has been reaching out to our trading partners at their prime ministerial level to remind them that, you know, our supply chain security on energy is a two-way street. And we expect to be a priority for the limited amount of fuel exports they have if they expect to be a priority for our LNG exports to them.
Yeah.
And I think if the government plays its diplomatic hand well here, we're going to avoid the kind of extent of shortages and rationing that other countries are going to face. So my hope is we get down that path. But if we're not successful in that, then we are going to end down the path of rationing.
Mm, so we have some leverage, but still, nations like Singapore, South Korea, they're in a difficult position as well. So they could, couldn't they, say, look, we just can't send anymore.
Yeah, well, you could imagine if you're in their position, the first priority is going to be making sure you have enough fuel for your own citizens.
Yeah.
The question then is, who gets priority? Will it be Australia? Will it be other countries in Asia? And this is where the diplomatic efforts from the Australian government matter, because I know everyone's kind of hurting now when they fill up their cars.
Mm.
But the truth is there's a much bigger risk here, which is there may not be fuel available at any price, which is much worse than having to pay more to get your fuel. And that's the dire situation that the Australian government's trying to avoid.
Well, Sol, as you mentioned, the cost of fuel is already very high. You think it could, what, continue to go up as long as this war continues? So it's not going to stabilise, is that what you're saying? How high could we see it go?
You could easily see prices increase another 20 to 30%. You need to remember, even hypothetically, if there's a complete ceasefire and peace deal done tomorrow, right, there's still going to be several weeks before all the shut-in oil and gas production restarts, gets back to its normal levels again. So I think this crunch point that we're going to see later in this month is going to happen one way or another. The question is just how long it's going to last.
The government, of course, it has moved to help bring the cost down to provide some relief for motorists. The Prime Minister has announced the halving of the fuel excise. Now, just remind me what that is and how much relief that will actually provide when you're at the bowser.
Yeah, well, it's a double-edged sword with this. So we saw the government do the same thing in 2022 in wake of the Russia-Ukraine war. You know, and it knocks over 20 cents a litre off your petrol price. So that's, you know, typical playbook for governments in a scenario like this is first work on your diplomacy with trade partners to secure fuel supply chains and underwrite them, and the Australian government's doing that. Second is to then look at demand management, and third is to shield your citizens from the full financial impact. Now, those are usually the order that you do things in. What we've seen from the government is they've gone through this to try and cut that tax on our fuel first. And the risk around that is, while it's going to provide some near-term relief, it also is going to result probably on balance in more demand for fuel, which is actually the opposite of what we want to achieve. And it's going to place some additional inflationary and budget pressures, and therefore we may have to see rising interest rates. Mm. You know, what Iran is doing here is they've got a deliberate strategy of weaponizing energy and food and the global economy to try and achieve their own political and military ends. And so far, you know, they're being reasonably successful at it, and we're going to pay the price here at home.
Just explain for me how rationing would actually work.
Look, it's premature to know exactly which way the government will go, but what is most important is that vital services, so think about it, military, police, hospitals, healthcare, aged care facilities still are receiving fuel to keep going. And same for vital economic corridors, agriculture, food, logistics, transport. So that's, you know, your critical area where the government will make sure these places are always going to have their supply. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we'll get to the point where they will run out. And then you'll have some leftover beyond that. And the question is then, how is that distributed? Mm-hmm. We've seen, for example, I mean, other countries around the world, and also historically when there have been oil shocks, you know, going back to the 70s, looking at working from home as a voluntary measure, does it become a mandated measure, for example, for government employees, reducing government use, demanding people to drive less, odd or even car plate numbers, you can only drive every other day.
Queues of motorists stretched for blocks. Despite the queues, however, service station owners reported today that they had to turn away fewer cars whose number plates didn't qualify them to buy petrol.
In Britain, the government has ordered that less oil products be used. There's to be a 10% cut in sales of motor spirit and motor oil, as well as in sales of oil products used in industry and for home heating.
The administration may be forced to ban Sunday driving, at least from midday after church.
These kind of things that have been used elsewhere in the past. Again, I hope we don't get to that point, but these are some of the measures that could be used to try and limit our demand.
All right, so Sol, from everything you've said, we're sort of okay for the next fortnight, but, you know, crunch time really could be coming. And we all, as motorists, need to think about our usage and be careful with it.
Absolutely. If we don't see more voluntary decisions to use less, price is going to force the outcome where it becomes so expensive to use our fuel that people will therefore drive less for that reason. I'm someone who's been quite critical of our, you know, government energy policy in the past on both sides of politics, but really at this time, I don't think now's the time to be trying to apportion blame. I think now's really about this issue is so critical for our economy and will flow through to our livelihoods. We really actually want to be trying to support each other and try and support our government efforts to make sure we don't experience the worst of this. Remember, like, when we're making decisions, You know, every drop of fuel now that you decide to use is potentially a drop of fuel that a farmer won't have to keep his tractor going to plant food for the second half of the year. So just keep that in mind.
Sol Kavanik is an energy analyst at MST Financial. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily. We'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.